May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53:6. It's tough on a night like this to think of cute, cuddly animals suffering. One time, Kelly misunderstood me when I remarked that we should get our dog a little chick after Easter to chew on since they'd be on sale. She thought I meant an actual baby chicken. I meant the little plush toys that parents stick in their Easter baskets. Similarly, lambs are adorable. They're so gentle, so precious, so soft. They can also be so dumb. The reason why a shepherd's crook is shaped like a hook is so they can snag an oblivious sheep who's fallen into a crag or gotten caught in a bog or a thicket, which then they unwisely wandered into. Bishops, whose own symbol of ministry is a shepherd's crook, in candid moments would echo the sentiments that we, God's people, like sheep, are often doing dumb stuff and get ourselves into situations that we can't get out of by ourselves. And we can get ourselves into some pretty sticky jams if we're honest with ourselves. We need help, and no amount of pulling on our own bootstraps is going to save us. Certainly the prophet Isaiah would share that opinion of his fellow Israelites. He equates his people with stray sheep. They have sinned. They've tried to do life by themselves. They've gotten spiritually sick, and they can't seem to get well. They've let temptation crush and bruise them like so many rocks that have tumbled on them after having fallen into the ravine of their own sinful nature. Now, the kind of people that, unfortunately, many Americans seem to have become these days might just as soon say, well, they made their bed, let them lie in it. They sinned. It's their own fault. They should have been smart, careful, vigilant, had more faith, loved God more, came to church more often, prayed harder, read the Bible every day. If they suffer, if they die, if they doom their own souls, good riddance. Some of us even think that's the way God wants to treat us. Either vindictive in meting out active punishments for sin, or Vulcan-like in dispassionately delivering the due penalty of our misdeeds, or allowing the natural destructive consequences of our bad thoughts and behavior as though he were completely oblivious and unaware of our plight. It's not like God has gone astray. Human beings are the stray sheep of God's errant flock. He's perfectly just and right to give us our just deserts. But Isaiah doesn't paint that kind of picture of God. God is no vengeful monster inflicting retribution. The one who teaches Jesus, the one who Jesus teaches us to call Father, is not some emotionless judge merely carrying out his duty against us rebels against heaven, us outlaws of his kingdom. The prophet Isaiah describes a God who's willing to take the beating himself rather than let his beloved sheep suffer. The suffering servant described by Isaiah is someone who thinks a bunch of wayward sheep are worth sacrificing his own well-being to rescue, in spite of our stubbornness and stupidity. Our good shepherd doesn't want any one of his flock to suffer needlessly, to be maimed, to stay lost and afraid in the wilderness of this fallen world, separated from him and from our fellow sheep forever. You are precious to God more than you can know or imagine. But that also means the other sheep we see stuck in the mire, wandering into the forest, drinking from a poisoned well, are precious to God, too. The opioid addict who has lost hope for this world is precious to God. The stranger of different skin tone, different speech, or different religion from me is precious to God. The hypocrite who hides from her sin by binge-watching the latest mindless reality TV and talk shows, she is precious to God. The grumpy pensioner bossing his wife around Walmart because he has no sense of fulfillment ever since he's been retirement, he is precious to God. Just as no sin is too small to lead us astray, the dumb sheep that we are sometimes, no sin is too big to make Jesus reconsider putting himself in harm's way for our sake. So none of us is in any place to look askance at the lambs for whom our Heavenly Father sent the Lamb of God to die. Perhaps that's the hardest reality to face. That God would send a perfect sheep to save an imperfect one. Financial advisors will tell you don't throw good money after bad when comparing investments and purchases. From our limited and fallen human perspective, sending Jesus to rescue us seems like a risky investment. I know that I couldn't imagine sending my little cavy puppy to roam free with a bunch of large, unknown, typically aggressive breeds of dogs. But the spotless Lamb of God, of his own volition, offered himself in our place upon the cross. Wandering, wounded, wayward lambs that we are, we were reunited to the triune God because that same God in human flesh went to Calvary for us. Jesus went to the place of the skull, knowing full well we were damaged goods and that he was perfect, but he loved us all the same. He loved us to the bitter end. Priest and biblical scholar Fleming Rutledge, in a recent interview with the Religion News Service about her book, The Crucifixion, said this: "I also make a point of insisting that the crucifixion and the resurrection are a single event, incomprehensible if separated." I believe she's right. If we have just some happy risen Lord, we deny the reality and brutality that sin is a real problem that requires a drastic solution beyond human ingenuity. If we have just a bloody pulp of a hero on a cross, we don't really have any basis for hope of any kind. Any picture of salvation must wrestle with the stark danger sin makes of living and the promise of victory over sin and death that transforms the very nature of the world that we live in. Straying sheep are in no position to do that. A divine solution is necessary, no matter how mind-boggling the calculus of solving that problem seems to us. As we mere sheep reflect on the magnitude of what Jesus does for us in dying in the most horrific and shameful of deaths, a death that really should be ours, at the same time stripping the power of human sin and demonic forces alike by conquering death, we should be, all of us, eminently grateful. What wondrous love is this? It's a love that outstrips our weak attempts at being good and earning a ticket to heaven. It's a love that turns our expectations upside down by sacrificing the very Lord of life for his broken creatures. It's a love that demonstrates just how much each puny one of us means to the one whose very nature is perfection. It's a love so deep, so wide, so high that our eyes should well up with tears of thanks. Let us adore this precious Lamb of God who considers you and you and you a precious Lamb of his too. Let us pray. Almighty God, by the Passover of your Son, you have brought us out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. Grant to those who are sealed by your Holy Spirit the will and the power to proclaim you to all the world through our crucified Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.